Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Burke Parsons to the podcast. Burke is senior pastor of St. Andrew's Chapel in Sanford, Florida, a Ligonier Ministries teaching fellow, chief publishing officer for Ligonier Ministries, and editor of Table Talk magazine. Burke, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you, Jason. It's good to be with you, sir.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Look, today we'll be talking about the preaching of R.C. Sproul, and I'm just so thrilled to have Burke on the program today. Burke is a friend, and obviously, Burke, you preached for many, many years there with Dr. Sproul in Florida at St. Andrews and in other contexts. So this can be a fun conversation. You know, Burke, I started this series just back here, I guess a couple months ago, when we're just periodically looking at the lives and preaching styles, preaching ministries of great preachers. And R.C. Sproul obviously is on our list, and given your relationship with him and your shared ministry with him, you were the obvious person to talk to about the life and ministry, and in particular the preaching ministry of R.C. Sproul. So I'm really looking forward to that. The vast majority of our listeners are aware of Dr. Sproul, but for those few perhaps who aren't, you can shed light, and hopefully for all of us, we can glean some insights into preaching and some lessons that can be applied to our own pulpit ministries. So before we get into that, though, Burke, just give us and our listeners a brief word of update on you and where God has you serving in ministry at St. Andrews, and just a word or two about your family, and just a basic orientation to you and your life ministry station.
Thank you, Jason. Well, I continue to serve as a pastor at St. Andrews Chapel. I've been there since 2001. And have served with my colleagues there, fellow pastors and fellow elders at St. Andrew's Chapel now for many years. And I first came under Dr. Sproul, started working for him in 1999 at Ligonier Ministries, and then was ordained in 2004. And so began preaching alongside Dr. Sproul then in 2004 and up until, of course, his passing and going home to be with the Lord in December of 2017. So that has been my primary role these many years, serving as a pastor there. And then before that, as you know, Jason, as we've spoken about in times past, before that, serving at Sarasota Baptist Church many years ago as a youth ministry intern and serving in some wonderful, wonderful contexts before our ordination. So I've also served, as you mentioned, at Ligonier Ministries in different capacities, but for the past a number of years, I think since about 2003, as editor of Table Talk and also serving our publishing and other content arms in some capacities under the direction of my friend and colleague and overseer, Chris Larson, who's president of Ligonier. So my family, my wife, we've been married 18 years now, and our three children, two daughters, and one now in high school, and our little boy, who's five, we are very, very grateful, and grateful to God for the dear bride that he has given me and our three children. And so it is a joy to serve a ministry. Of course, it is not without its challenges and trials that the Lord permits in our lives, but all of these things shape us as shepherds and shape us as his children. And though we are shepherds, of course, we are also sheep.
Mm, very well said. And I love the fact you reference your Baptist and Southern Baptist ties in a previous iteration of your life and ministry. And so as we've talked in personal context, it's fun to reflect on the SBC and what the Lord's doing in our shared ministry settings. So R.C. Sproul, he went to be with the Lord this past December, and of course, before that, had a season, I guess really, like so many other folks who are aging, a season of digressing health, and in recent years, his travel had been limited, he had been using oxygen, and so was not able to get out on the circuit as much like he used to as far as traveling around the country, but still maintained a massive ministry footprint really until the very end. So let me ask you to answer two questions, really one question from two different vantage points. Number one, just a word broadly to summarize his ministry. By that I mean kind of, you know, a sense of the books he wrote, the ministries he started, kind of the major ministry touch points. And then at the more personal level, just your personal ministry interaction with him. So people would know the author, the apologist, et cetera, but just what he was like as a minister in the context of St. Andrew's Church and as he interacted with other followers of Christ.
Thank you, Jason. Those are good questions. And the truth of the matter is that, R.C.'s life spanned such a long period, his ministry such a long period. He really, what's interesting is R.C. never really set out to be a preacher, never set out really to be a professor. He never set out to be an author. One of the things he told me just about a year ago or so is that he always wanted to be a professional athlete. Always wanted to be a professional baseball player or even football player when he was younger. And of course, he was quite an athlete for many years of his life in high school and college. But the Lord called him to himself. He became a Christian in college and brought him into ministry over the ensuing years. And of course, I could tell you so much about his life and so much about his story and so much about what the Lord used him to do. But fundamentally, the Lord really called him to be a teacher and a professor. Over the years, as he was involved in the church and even pastored early on, a Hungarian refugee church as an intern in seminary, really that teaching ministry that led him to both the college and the seminary was what predominated his life. And then in his 40s, he began to write. That was about the same time when Ligonier Ministries was founded in the foothills of western Pennsylvania, something that was very similar to Schaefer's Libri. The study center at Ligonier Valley, was a place of teaching, a place of retreat, a place of discipleship. And so, of course, as that developed over the years, R.C.'s teaching ministry, his writing, as they began to record him and send videos and, audio tapes and throughout the country, of course, his ministry and his teaching, his voice spread. And so it wasn't until really the late 90s when he was asked to consider taking part in a Bible study that would later become a very small congregation of St. Andrew's Chapel. And from the outset, R.C. was insistent that he could not be a pastor. He did not believe he was really called to be a pastor. He didn't believe he had the gifts to be a pastor. He would say this to the congregation over the years in different contexts as well, even serving in the context that he was and in the role that he was at St. Andrew's Chapel. And so he really took his teaching ministry into the church and into the pulpit. And over time, R.C. really became the preacher that he was. And he would be the first one to tell you that. He would be the first one to say that he grew into preaching. He really became the preacher that he was. And quite frankly, for many years before he went home to be the Lord with the Lord, he would say that his preaching ministry at St. Andrew's was, for him, one of the most, if not the most significant and joyful part of his ministry. He loved preaching to the same people, the same individuals, the same families, the same congregation, year in and year out. And he really came to feel the love of a people. You know, before that, it was in college and seminary, and you're going in and teaching students for a course of a few years or 4 years even, but not even that long in most cases, of course. And so he loved the week in and week out ministry of the local church at St. Andrew's Chapel. And so those are some of his, major touch points in his life and ministry. Of course, he's authored more than 100 books of all sorts of different subjects, but of course, mainly dealing with theology and scripture and the theology of scripture, really striving to help lay people understand the doctrine of the Word of God in a simple way without making it simplistic. So I hope that gets at your first question there, Jason.
Hey, Bert, let's pause just for a moment for a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's Doctor of Ministry degree program is your next step in training for local ministry. The Doctor of Ministry program at Midwestern Seminary is designed to equip and train leaders with a commitment to the local church. With multiple emphases available, including counseling, church revitalization, expository preaching, leadership, and missions, among others, your program provides the equipping you need in practical theology for direct church work and ministry leadership. And because all of our doctoral programs are modular, you don't have to leave your current ministry to pursue your degree. For more information, visit mbts.edu today. That's mbts.edu.
All right, I'm back with Bert Parsons. We are in the studio today talking about R.C. Sproul and his preaching ministry. I'm going to make a personal digression here for a moment. I served for 3 years on staff with Steve Lawson at Dolphin Way Baptist Church in Mobile, and Steve married my wife Karen and I, and has just been a sweet friend over the years. And I remember having a conversation with him, and he mentioned The Invisible Hand of God, the book, and he mentioned the Sunset Limited crash of the rail car. And I remember he mentioned that to me, and I had no idea at that moment that the Sprouls were on that train when it crashed in Mobile. That was massive news. I remember I was standing in middle school at my school when we had heard that this train had crashed, and just astonished by that, and then the fact that he was on that. And so for me, that's one little teeny tiny point of connection I have with Dr. Sproul. I was able to meet him a few times later in life when I was serving with Al Mohler in Louisville. But going way back to my adolescent years, that he almost, as you know, nearly could have died in Mobile, being on that train crash. And so for me, that was kind of my introduction to him. Later in life, when I heard that he was on it, scoured through the book to read the story of God's providence, that. Then, of course, them going to Providence Hospital, where they were attended to there. But, it's just interesting to me, reflecting on that as I hear you reflecting on your personal encounters with him and how you engaged him and how you saw him. So as a preacher, let me ask the question this way. As a preacher, what did he do? What made him the type of preacher that people wanted to listen to?
Well, that's a great question, and we could spend a lot of time talking about that. I think a lot of it just came out of who he was, and that's, of course, the case for all of us who preach and teach. For every father, every mother who teaches their children, who they are, it comes out in their teaching and their communication. And R.C. had a big personality, and he was a man of passion. He was a man who, in many ways, wore his emotions on his sleeve in a good way, and he let them out, and he wasn't afraid of that. He wasn't afraid of being transparent. He wasn't afraid of being vulnerable. He wasn't afraid of making very personal and close connections with the people that he was addressing. Of course, there are numerous things that he did just because of who he was and his personality. Being an athlete, and not just being an athlete, but really a tremendous athlete, and often the captain of his teams. And so you can even get a feel from his preaching and communication style that he's sort of this team captain trying to get your focus and get you on the same page and make sure you understand the game plan and understand what needs to be done. You can kind of feel that in his approach. But with great intention, R.C. also worked very hard in his communication. A lot of people don't realize that. It didn't come as naturally for him as people might have thought. He would get nervous often before he preached and before he taught. We both shared a certain a feeling, and we shared it for all the years we were together until he died, of course, where there was a certain holy, if you will, uneasiness and unsettledness, not a nervousness, if you will, but that what we were going to do and what he was going to do in preaching the Word of God and to stand up and to proclaim and herald the Word of God and the truth of God, knowing that God is a holy God and a just God and a righteous God, and those who were teaching and preaching, that we shall incur stricter judgment. Before preaching, we would pray together, and because we were both preaching week in and week out in the mornings, and we would admit that oftentimes our stomachs were in knots a little bit, and we would have to go to the Lord and say, our help comes from you. And so RC really had to work on that and pray about that. Before he would preach, he'd often look up, and you could sort of see him looking up towards the ceiling of wherever we were in a conference space or in a church or at St. Andrew's Chapel. And RC would often be looking up and saying, from where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. And reminding himself and gaining a courage and a confidence from the Lord. One of the things that is very significant about RC's preaching, and I dare to call it a style because I don't think it was a style. I think it was a firm belief in the sovereignty of God and in the Holy Spirit. That RC worked to study well and to study hard and to make sure that he was ready to proclaim the Word of God and the truth of God without notes, without a manuscript, without an outline. And he wouldn't say that that's the only way for everyone and that that's the ideal, but that was his way as he strove to really know his content well and then trust the Holy Spirit in delivering that content. Now, of course, RC was a genius. He had a brilliant mind, and he could do that. He could remember his outline. He could remember the stories and illustrations that he wanted to bring, but he was reliant upon the Holy Spirit. And so as he preached and as his own personality came out, some of the things that he always strove for, and one of the things he would tell me and teach me early on, back in the early 2000s, he would say, Burke, whenever you come to a text or whenever you come to teach, whenever you come to preach, find the drama. Look for the drama. And then let that drama, the drama of Scripture, come alive. Well, what was amazing is that that drama made him come alive. The truth of the Word of God, the beauty of the Word of God made him come alive. And that, in turn, had this reverberating effect in making those that were under his ministry come alive and love the Word of God. He didn't just want people to understand the Word of God. He didn't just want people to learn the Word of God. He wanted people to come alive from hearing the Word of God, to come away feeling liberated, to come away feeling assured by God, to come away feeling the beautiful holiness of God and the love of God and the grace of God and the sovereignty of God. He wanted people to come away saying, wow, this God is absolutely amazing, and his grace is gripping me at the very core of my being. So that drama that brought out life in him, he would say, Scripture makes me come alive. And I think every called preacher really feels that. There's a fire in his belly, and that fire was in RC's belly, and it came out when he preached and when he taught. And that fire, if you will, passed on to his listeners, and they caught that fire. They caught that passion, and they couldn't help but love God's word more and love God more as they rested in the Lord and followed the Lord Jesus Christ.
Man, that was so well said. And let me tell you, Burke, you have ESP because you answered in that answer like my next four questions. So that was beautiful in the way you wove together what he wanted to accomplish in the pulpit and how he spoke. The fact he spoke without notes, I was going to ask you about that. So let me transition to this question for you. What would you say? Maybe you've already answered in the need, you know, for the text to come alive, find the drama, let the text come alive. But what would you say is the most important thing or the important lesson you learned from the preaching ministry of R.C. Sproul?
Wow, that's a great question, Jason. I will say this. Something that RC began to emphasize during the last year of his life, and I don't think I've spoken about this with anyone thus far. I think you're the first one I've spoken with about this. In the last year of his life, he really became so moved by the fact that his preaching, and that preaching in general, that the goal of it is to bring glory to God. I realize that that sounds like a very simple and perhaps obvious point to so many. But what he meant by that, and what he was experiencing, was that not only the content of his teaching and his preaching was to give glory to God, that is, the content was to be true to the Word of God and to honor God and glorify God, and that the preaching itself, the message and the word preached was to spur the people on to glorify God and to honor God and to rest in the Lord and to follow the Lord and to obey the Lord, but that the preaching itself, that the teaching itself, that it in and of itself was to glorify God in every aspect, in every way, that we as preachers and teachers are to have that at the forefront of our thinking. And again, this seems like such an obvious and simple point. Every preacher and teacher worth his salt, every godly Christian preacher and teacher is going to say, well, of course. But too often in our day, I would say, too many men are too concerned about their own honor, their own glory, how they come across, that they would not come across as fools in any way. And R.C., in one sense, he had ministered for so long and preached and taught for so long that he began to just sort of completely get over himself. And so he's willing to, if you will, take it on the chin and say the things that needed to be said, and to say the hard things, to say the challenging things, to say the bold things, and let the chips fall where they may, because his concern was not simply not offending men unnecessarily, but not offending God at all. That his preaching would not offend the Lord, but that every word would please the Lord and give him glory.
So then, with that in mind, how did he accomplish that as far as relates to sermon prep? What did you see, and what might we be able to learn from how Dr. Sproul went about preparing his sermons?
Well, that's a good question, Jason. I have to say that, R.C. and I never spent a lot of time talking about that over the years. He had his own way of preparing sermons. I had my own way of preparing sermons. I will say this, that is, I think, something very significant, is that R.C. spent a great deal of time not only in studying and reading about the text that he was preaching on, but he spent a great deal of time meditating and thinking about the text. Through the week leading up to the Lord's Day, he would process the text and think through the text and begin to apply that text to his own life and to the lives of others in his life, and even relate that to the past throughout church history, throughout his own life and life's experiences. Now, every pastor does that. Every preacher, every teacher does that. But I think R.C. really spent a great deal of time thinking about every word and every phrase within the text and really meditating on it and thinking seriously as to how it applied. Now, for those of us who don't use notes in our preaching, we have to do that. It has to so be in us. It has to so be a part of us, so that when we stand up to preach, we know the text backwards and forwards, and we know sort of every angle of it. And so he did that intentionally. I think that was a significant characteristic that really influenced his preaching and mine.
Very well said. Well, Burke, our time is just flying by here. So let me just ask you, I guess, one last question. What would you say to young ministers, perhaps even seminary students, who are looking to enhance, to strengthen, to mature as preachers? What would be a practical word or two that you would say preachers listening to R.C. Sproul could take away?
Great question, Jason. I would say, and I know many others would probably disagree with this, but I would say spend less time listening to lots of preachers. I would say spend more time knowing Scripture. I think a lot of men are, and I want to commend them, they're listening to a lot of preachers or listening to a lot of podcasts. That's wonderful. That's good and well. Of course, I cannot not commend that. But I think that what men need to be doing more than anything is studying Scripture. And that also means studying commentaries thoroughly as they study Scripture. They need to know the Word of God, and they need to spend time in prayer, bathing their sermons in prayer, spending time communing with the Lord in prayer as they take the Word of God and proclaim it.
Very well said. Burke, my friend, thank you for the conversation today. What a worthy servant Dr. Sproul proved to be, and it's good that we remember him today, and it's good that preachers and ministers looking to strengthen their ministry of the Word look to him as a model worthy of emulation. Burke, thank you for joining me on Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you, my friend. Good to be with you.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, jasonkallen.com.